Hi, I'm Al Majoros. I am a three-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Today we're talking to Kathy Cerro of Reeling and Healing Midwest. It's an event that I participated in, and it is a great, great event. I recommend it for everyone. How are you today, Kathy?
I'm doing great, Mel. How are you doing?
Awesome. So, you know, thinking back before the show started about my experience with Reeling and Healing, I just can't believe how fly fishing can be very calming. And when I tell people that, they're like, what? So I know it sounds kind of nuts, but well, it doesn't. But
well, plus to calm you down, Mel. Come on.
Well, there you go. Exactly. Oh, Kathy, you know me too well. So why don't we start out with how you came up with this fantastic idea?
Well, this idea, actually, it started with not myself, so mm-hmm. I won't take full credit for how it began.
Okay.
But a gal had heard of an organization that had started out east. She wanted to do something similar in the state of Michigan for gals that were, at that time, this goes back 12 years ago, gals who were in the throes of being diagnosed and mm-hmm. going through the processes and recovery of breast cancer.
Right.
And I happened to be teaching fly fishing part-time on the side from my real job, because I like to do that.
And what is your real job?
My real job right now, I'm within the financial markets.
Oh, okay.
And a little bit of everything. But I was teaching Orvis corporate fly fishing schools in the Midwest.
Oh, nice.
And meeting women on weekends who were fishing, and, mm-hmm. and one thing led to another. And I really enjoyed teaching women, and read about Reeling and Healing Midwest, actually in the Muskegon Chronicle, of all places. and I'm a Michigander girl. My folks have a place up on the Pure Marquette River just outside of Ludington.
Okay.
And so they're right on the river, so I'm there constantly. Read the paper, how they were starting this organization. I gave a call and said, I'd love to help and volunteer. And I jumped in, had the best time ever. And I was a volunteer. And the women had a tremendous time learning how to fly fish, but also the camaraderie, mm-hmm. the laughter, the hugs, the support, everything that came with it was just, it beat to me. It was the best fly fishing experience teaching and not being paid. And I figured if I could like it that much and not be paid, this is what I'm supposed to do.
And oh, exactly.
So, yeah. And so that's where I kind of was pulled into it. And 5 years into it, the gal who had started it decided she wanted a life change. And next thing I knew, I had been in charge. And then, honest, I had been in charge of, you know, helping raise monies and helping market and find participants. And I had started the website. And next thing I know, it was kind of by all other volunteers pointing at me.
So you got the live change as well.
I got to do it, yeah. And it's been a blast. And since then, I just thought the better thing to do was open this up to women who are in the throes of any type of cancer,
right,
and recovery and survivorship. And then also, hey, you have that initial experience to go and fly fish, but why not go again? So started reunion retreats, mm-hmm. where you can go again after you learn the beginning, how to do it. And if you really like it, we have the equipment, we have everything to, you know, take advantage of. Plus we know where to go and have the volunteers to help out. So why not just join in if you want to join in?
Awesome. Now, how do you get your volunteers? Because I know most of the volunteers for the group that I was in was mostly male.
Oh, yeah. You had that. That was one of those things that doesn't happen all the time.
Oh. Most well, I mean, the there guys. Was no problem, yeah. but it was yeah. just kind of surprising to me.
Well, most of the fly fishermen are men.
Mm-hmm.
But a majority of our retreats we do focus on doing our best to have the women fly fishers.
Right.
And it's just word of mouth out there within the community. Whether it's fly fishing in the sporting community, I'm always looking for nurses, oncology social workers, or anyone within the cancer realm, even if they don't know how to fly fish, and they want to volunteer, to come volunteer with us, and we will teach them how to fly fish. You don't need to be an expert to help and teach in our within our groups, to, you know, with, especially with the new participant retreats.
Because we don't know anyway, so.
Well, that's one of the things I say. I'm like, somebody is an expert in something.
Right.
So if we need to have a question answered, we're going to get it answered. But as long as I can keep, like, you and all the other ladies safe, upright, not in the river, that you're having a great fun time, that you maybe hook into a fish, and that you are being, you know, you're being taken care of to the utmost possibility that we can make you feel safe and that you're in a trusted and good environment. That's what I'm looking for in those volunteers, and that they're so positive and give reinforcement and assist with whatever issues they may have and make it go forward.
Now, tell me about, like, the first group of women that you taught. Like, what was the experience that you had? I know you said it was a great experience, but can you delve a little bit more into that for me?
Sure. This will be 12 summers ago, and I was driving from downtown Chicago all the way up to Grayling, Michigan for this first retreat. And I had to drive after work, so most of it was done in the dark. And as I got closer to Grayling, I realized that I had no one in my life that had cancer. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know much about it. And I had no preparation of how to, you know, I suddenly thought, well, how am I going to, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to work with these gals? You know, I can teach how to fly fish, but I don't know the cancer element and how that'll come in and how I can be supportive. And got up there and got in my cabin. They left me little notes, which made me feel good. The next morning I had the like welcoming committee, and I had like six women with bald heads laughing at me, which I'd never, it was like a whole brand new experience for me, but laughing at me, welcoming me, and, you know, inviting me to come have breakfast. And here I was, a volunteer, but they just opened up their lives and shared what they thought, how they felt, comforted each other, reached out, and just made it, it was like family. You suddenly walked into family. And this wasn't all about the fishing opportunity. At that retreat, I will never forget a woman by the name of Terry that sat across the table from me, and they were having a makeup session. They were teaching each other how to, they had a cosmetologist there who was showing how to work with wigs. And then also, you know, those that go through chemo, that they might have hair loss. They're working on eyebrows and how to do different types of techniques to feel better about yourself. And they used me as a guinea pig. So I was the one they put the wigs on. I was the one they made a mustache on instead of eyebrows.
That's funny.
Kinds of things like that. But there's this Terry sat across the table from me, and she was just bubbly. And she looked at me at one point, and her eyes got real filled with tears and water, and she said, you know, I'm just having the best time. And I said, well, this is great. This is, you know, fun, and this is, you know, so nice to meet you here and see that you're having so much fun. And she said, I'll be dead next year.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, just bluntly, and I didn't know how to respond to that. I still don't know how to respond.
I don't know how to respond to that either. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I'm a little better. But,
yeah.
And I said, why? You know, I just said, why? And so then with that, she told me part of her story and how she'd been battling her breast cancer for 7 years, and there was nothing more to do, and on and on. And I inside felt, you know, just going through my feelings of being surrounded by all these people, you know, surviving and doing what they could. And then, of course, I'm trying to be positive. And I said to Terry, I said, you know, keep it up. We're going to have a great weekend. Don't worry. And she squeezed my hands and she said, no, I will be dead next year. And went through the retreat looking at people differently. I actually felt guilty I had long hair. And as everybody went for their last lunch together before graduation, I just thought, you know, I need some time for myself. And I went and I stood in the river. And as a guide, my thought process is, I'm not there to fish. I'm there to help others fish and catch their fish.
Right.
And so I was out there with a fly rod, and I put a little, what's called a strike indicator, and this little piece of white foam on the end of my line instead of a fly, and I'm casting, and I'm just kind of meditating. That's my way to just be.
Okay.
And let it out. And
yes.
And this is while I'm crying, thinking about these women that I've met and how much they've touched me. in these 2.5 days I've been with them. And I hear from the trees, behind the trees, somebody, this little voice that says, catch the fish, catch the fish. And I realize that the it's become overcast, and the fish are out feeding in the middle of the river, and they are indeed trying to, like, bite at my little float that's in the water. And so I cajoled the gal who was behind the trees out, Anne Marie, and she came out, and I said, well, if we tie a fly on, I said, I'll let you catch the fish. And with that, I helped her tie the fly on, and we went, and we ended up catching a fish. And it was her first trout that she's ever caught in her life. And she was screaming and hollering. Everybody came out of the restaurant that's up there. There's a restaurant there. Everybody yes. piled out. There was like a pile of 30 people screaming, yelling, high-fiving. And I'm just there in the river holding this fish. And I just said to her, I looked and I said, and she's crying. And I still don't get this whole thing, you know, what her experience is, because I'm around trout all the time. I've been fishing right. all the time. I looked at her, and she goes, well, thank you so much. Thank you. And I said, oh, it's just a little trout. And she goes, no, and hugged me and said, this is my first trout. This may be my only trout. And she looked at me and said, you helped me catch my first trout ever. And
wow, that's awesome.
And she and I have never lost touch. And it's just, I have pictures of that moment, and it's just an awesome thing for me, just a memory for me. And I drove all the way home going, wow, it's not just the fish.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And when I told people that I was going to do fly fishing, I kind of got these looks like, well, we know you like the outdoors and everything, and they know I don't like camping or stuff like that. And I fished when I was younger, and it's like, well, why are you doing that? It's like, well, you know, I like to experience a lot of different things that other cancer survivors do, these groups and everything. And when you say it's not about the fish, it definitely isn't. Like, I've always had a hard time relaxing after during survivorship. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, my mind always wanders. And like you said, it's surprising but being in the water just for those 2.5 days, being around nature and just letting the water come up to your knees, or that's about how high it was, right?
Yeah, we let you go a little deeper.
Right. Well, yeah, nothing like too crazy. But, you know, it's very calming, and it's surprising how just doing that and, you know, trying to catch a fish and be with your guide can just totally, like, get everything that's in your head just out of it. Just, you know, all your problems and everything just basically float down the river.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of just let it go, and even if you could stand there and when you stop casting,
yes.
or looking for a fish, that you just realize beauty that's around you.
Oh, yes.
And how often we miss it.
Oh, we do. Especially living up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, well, you say you live in Chicago.
So, yeah.
So there's, you know, a lot of tall buildings. And I know when you come up here, it's just amazing. And I know I was late the first day. Thank you, Chemo Brain, for having that. I remember the phone call. This is what happened. I got the phone call. Why aren't you here yet? Like, basically, like, grab stuff that was in my closet. And I'm like, oh, I guess I didn't prepare enough for the weekend. But, you know, trying on the waders for the first time, it is kind of intimidating.
Because mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, I don't really know. And I have, is it casting? But not just the regular reel. Rod and reel fish, but I've never fly fished before, and it looks very daunting, but with the instructors and everyone was so helpful, and, you know, no one made you feel like, wow, you really suck.
No. No.
And I think somebody actually caught a fish in during our retreat, didn't they?
I'm certain that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, but I know what you mean, where just you look at all this equipment a number of times people will say, well, I've only seen fly fishing, like
right.
in the movie and when they're casting in some of those commercials on TV, it is pretty bad, but it still can look pretty and,
right.
and people want to be out there. And I have to say what's one of the things with, it's especially with the women, no matter if you have chemo brain or not, there's just a way to teach and just the basic elements so that you pick it up and you can just go out and have fun.
Yes,
and
exactly.
That's the other part. It's about having fun, too.
And I know during our retreat, Mary, who was my roommate, she was feeling rather self-conscious about wearing a wig or
mm-hmm.
being bald. And I remember, I think halfway through the first day, she just decided not to wear the wig at all.
Yep, and they all cheered her, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because I remember being in the room with her. She's like, oh, I don't know, you know. It's like, well, everyone else has gone through what you've gone through as far as losing their hair, or most of them anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, for us, it's like, okay, go ahead. Do, you know, keep the wig on, take the wig off, do whatever you want. But no one here is going to be like, oh, you're bald.
No.
You know, it's not like you go to the store and you see someone who's bald and you think, oh my gosh, they have cancer.
Right.
You know, because
right.
we all have the same experiences here.
Yeah.
Now, I also know that during the retreat that I was on, you also had a previvor. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, we had and I'm remembering that one too.
Sisters.
Three sisters that attended, mm-hmm. and two had gone through the breast cancer, and the third sister had gone in and had the testing done, mm-hmm. and found out that she did in fact carry the gene.
Right, the BRCA gene.
And so has a. So her decision was made. You know, she sat and worked with that and made the decision that she would just have a mastectomy, boom, mm-hmm. done. And so it was just, they called me up and said, would we be able to come? You know, she hasn't had to go through chemo, da-da-da-da-da, but she has had to help the other two sisters with their going through what they've gone through with treatment and survivorship. And mm-hmm. then she made that decision for herself what to do. And I thought, you know what? No reason not to do this.
Right.
Why not let her come? We can all learn, share, and, you know, spread the word from there. So, that way I just thought that was an opportunity to really help others.
Right. Because sometimes caregivers get overlooked as well, mm-hmm. when they're taking care of us.
Correct.
And
yep.
and I see that you do have some caregiver retreats coming up.
Yes. We have retreats not as many retreats for the caregivers as
right.
we do for the those that are surviving, but we do try and have an opportunity for them to come, or for them to come with the whoever participated. So, Mel, if you wanted to come to a reunion retreat mm-hmm. sometime this year, or even 3 years from now, or
yes.
5 years from now, when we're still having these, and you wanted to bring a friend who was a caregiver or had been whether to you or someone else, mm-hmm. and kind of let them have that experience of fly fishing, maybe kind of understand what you liked about it, and go out for a day and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's just awesome.
All the better. Yeah, I just think I just think fly fishing, the river, nature, mm-hmm. all of it, you know, you don't just have to be that fly fisherman of vests, you know, what people think of it, you know, or spending thousands of dollars for all that equipment.
Right.
It's just, you can just get out there and find peace.
Exactly.
And as I always say, you're renewing your spirit, you're renewing your hope.
Mm-hmm.
And fishing on.
Oh, yes, fish on.
Fish on.
Well, yeah, because we all lead pretty much fast-paced lives. And you've probably seen it the first day that everyone's there. They're still, like, in the, I don't know, big city mode, or, like, still just done with their jobs and just, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just like, oh, here we are. And then once you progress and you get into the water after, like, maybe the first day, you're just more calm, and by the end of the retreat, it's just like, wow.
Well, no one wants to go home.
No, exactly.
No one, and that's the best feeling ever, when no one wants to go home and they want to stay, mm-hmm. or they say, I don't want to go home because I have to go to work and I'm going to have to leave this, or I was
right.
so well taken care of, and especially women who we usually are caring for others.
Yes.
And ourselves come last. And so I, you know, to watch everyone change in those 2.5 days, mm-hmm. From one mode to this slow mode, and then letting that positivity and that hope and renewal and the shared experience come into their lives. And then when they cry with tears and they're going to leave, mm-hmm. because they don't want to leave.
Yes.
I'm like that. That means we've done our job as volunteers.
Me too. And I know a lot of the women in the group that I was at, they wanted to continue fly fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you heard from any of them?
I have. Mm-hmm. And I've had a couple that have come as volunteers already.
Nice.
And next week I'm going to see two, I think, exactly from your retreat as well.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So, and then if they haven't come to retreats, They're helping out with stuffing mail. I mean, they're making phone calls to tell others about their, you know, their experience, and or pass out flyers within the community, just take them to the doctor's office. I mean, anybody who wants to help, there's a way to help us out.
Exactly. So your website is reelingandhealing.com.org.
Both of them work.
Ah,
and then we have the shorter version of just fishon.org. But yes, reelingandhealing.org and fishon.org.
So now, as far as like you have the survivors at Common, it's reasonable because the lodge helps you out that way. How else can somebody volunteer besides what you just said, stuffing envelopes? They can donate. Can they donate equipment or obviously donate money? No one ever turns money away. But
no, and we're very grassroots. We're 100% volunteer organization. So every penny goes to helping these survivors, you know, cover the expenses of their retreats. The other ways that they can help us out, if they have equipment to donate, that's great. If they go to a garage sale, find something, whether it's fly tying material and feathers to an old reel, and they don't know if it would work or not. if we can't use it, I find a home for it because I've buddied up with some other nonprofits. We help out kids. We help other people who are doing some of the fly fishing. Or if I know of someone who so wants to be fly fishing more, but it just cannot afford the equipment, that kind of thing, I do what I can to help them out.
Nice.
But I'll take donations of stamps, envelopes. I really appreciate when people can help us put the flyers out within the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I have those where I can mail them out. I can email them to people if they can print and send them elsewhere. Anytime if you know of something going on in the community, whether it's health-oriented, something at the hospital where we can have someone locally that's participated talk about the organization and the retreat programs and help out. But we're always looking for volunteers to come, and they don't necessarily have to be fly fishers to help out at the retreats. Now, we have what we call land volunteers that help us with food and preparation, registration, grocery shopping.
Oh, very nice.
A lot of different things.
So what you're saying is I would be a land volunteer.
You at this point, we would be a land volunteer, but we'd probably let you in the water and help, so you could go. You know how we walked around and made certain everybody was hydrated?
Yes.
And we passed out licorice whips and whatever. I'd let you do that.
Oh, awesome. And you know, the other great part is a lot of cancer survivors get tired a lot because of fatigue and everything. And I love the fact that you bring chairs out into the lake, because it's like, oh, you know, that's something that I personally wouldn't think about if I was fishing and I just got tired, because then you'd be like, oh, well, I'm done, I have to leave, and you don't really want to. But
right.
I mean, that's just so great.
I just, there are those, they're plastic chairs that run about $15 or $20 at Walmart.
Yes.
You can put out on your back deck, and they have just enough slots in them, so when you place them down into the water and sit in them, which the water ends up to be right about where your bum is, right?
Yes.
And you get just enough water going by, and you can sit in that current, and you can fish to your heart's delight, or you can just sit there and relax and feel the water and get, you know, cool off in the hot day if it's a little too warm. But and that all came from me one day, Mel.
Oh, really?
I saw those chairs sitting there, and it was hot, and I thought, and I was in my waders, and I thought, this just kind of sucks. I'm really hot, and instead of sitting in the water, like on my knees and on my butt in the water, I went and got one of those chairs, and of course I got the look like, what are you doing? And then somebody who was sitting and who was tired and wanted to still fish, I said, come on, let's go. And because I sat with her, we both sat out there and fished, and we've done that almost every retreat. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I know a lot of people, you know, I was extremely fatigued right after my chemo and radiation, and I know a lot of the survivors who were there had just barely finished their treatment. So, I mean, that's great.
Well, and what's wonderful about the location that we're at, too, is that the water, the water's crystal clear.
Yes.
The bottom is just small gravel and sand.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mucky, icky, smelly stuff.
And
you're not getting sucked into it. And you can see where you're going. And most of that water is right at, you know, right at your knee, a little below or a little above it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's so surprising because it's—I don't know. I mean, just still living in Michigan, I'm always surprised at just the beauty of nature, just tucked hidden away in different places?
We've just got wonderful, wonderful natural resources in Michigan.
Yes.
And I go out west and I think I can have this right back at home.
Exactly.
And it's there. You just think that, oh, I have to go travel somewhere, but you've got it all right there in the state of Michigan, and why not take advantage of it?
And speaking of that, where's the furthest away someone has come?
Oh, the furthest away would be Northern California.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. She flew in to Traverse City, and a volunteer picked her up and brought her to Grayling. Yeah, but we've had, that would be the farthest, but we've had gals from Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, South Carolina, Connecticut, New York. Yeah, from all over they've come. But a majority of our participants are really from, you know, Midwest, Michigan.
Excellent. That's awesome, and myself included. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't even remember where I found your. I think I found your flyer somewhere. And, you know, that's one good thing about putting flyers at different events. It's like I always pick up these flyers for different things, and then I'm like, wow, this sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And then here we are talking about it, and, you know, I think I blogged about it after I did it just because it was one of those things, like I said, it's like fly fishing, huh? Like a lot of people are like, you're taking work off to do what now? You're going fly fishing?
It's like, you were working.
Well, yes, I was
working on Mel.
Exactly. And you know, that's important, too, as a cancer survivor. So, yeah, I mean, it was just so relaxing, and just being out there with nature, you just don't appreciate what's here and don't realize how stressed out you can get over, obviously, cancer and life and just everything, and just letting it all just have it clear your mind and clear your head and just get back to who you are.
Yeah, which is a good thing, because too many times your mind makes you start to worry, and then it just goes.
Are you in my head right now?
No. I have my own. I do my own. And really, it's like, wow, you know, where some people have, I don't know how some, I wouldn't be the one to be able to go to yoga class and relax. I would be the one that have to be outside, away from, and that's the other part of fly fishing. The bugs that bite you, like mosquitoes, they're not in the middle of the river. There might be in the woods, but they're not in the middle of the river. So I can go out there and not worry about bees and bugs and stuff, and just relax.
Right.
Or put the chair out there and relax.
Put the chair out there, exactly. I love that. That's awesome. So once again, it's Reeling and Healing, and that's and, not ampersand, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Reelingandhealing.org, or as we like to say, fishon.
Fishon.org.
And if people want to email you, Kathy, how can they do so?
They can email right to info@fishon.org, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, give information about retreats, whether they want to participate or maybe volunteer. Happy to help out and tell them anything they need to know about our retreats and our programs and where they can find what's going on next with us.
Awesome. And you also have a Facebook page.
I have a Facebook page, which, as you know, I'm not up to speed on Facebook very. I still need a class, or I need a volunteer.
You need to call me. Well, we'll talk after the
show. To help me with my Facebook page.
Yes.
But the little Facebook page is there, just with links into our website. And I actually have two posts to be putting up there as well. But
excellent.
And more pictures. So if anything, I say go to our website, check out the gallery page, look at the pictures, and the one thing that you will see are happy people.
Exactly.
That's my favorite thing when I'm able to guest speak and show pictures of what we do. It's just the faces of these women. Mm-hmm. And then if you can't believe that you would ever be in a pair of waders, or you would feel like you would feel like, no, I just couldn't put waders on, and how could anybody do that?
Mm-hmm.
There's some reaffirming photos to look at, and you'll see every shape and size and age range and color and creed. They're all in those waders, and they're smiling and having fun. So
exactly. Well, awesome, Kathy. Hang on. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is The Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Mel Majoros. Become a fan of the show on Facebook, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. Check out my website, thecancerwarrior.net. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.